Scripted with Niamh O'Connor, a Go Loud original podcast.
Hi guys, my name's Niamh O'Connor and this is my podcast Unscripted, a Go Loud original. You might have seen me on social media, but if you haven't seen me on social media, don't worry. There's loads of time to get to know me on this podcast. I spill all of my secrets. I tell you all of my traumas. I cry regularly. I laugh regularly. It's a roller coaster of emotions. Every week, guys, I pick a topic. I talk about it. I try to stick to the topic. A lot of the time, I don't. And I answer your dilemmas. If you're a new listener, welcome and strap yourself in. Come along with me for the ride. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Thank you for listening every week. Hi guys, and welcome back to episode 39 of Unscripted. We do have a guest today. I'll intro him in a minute, but I wanted to tell you this story, right? I told this story the other day on my TikTok and it made me realize that I never told this on the podcast. So I am in Tenerife, right? And loads of people are going to have seen this anyways on my TikTok, but I'll just tell it. I'm in Tenerife, right? And I'm going around the whole island looking for Benson Silver. You might have seen me put it on my Instagram story, ask on TikTok, everywhere. I know smoking is a disgusting habit, by the way, before you even start. I've spoke about my want to quit, but when in Tenerife, you need to get a sleeve, right? So one sleeve, of course, as per the law. So I was in Tenerife searching everywhere, all around, found this one fucking shop, right? Went into the shop, and because so everywhere I was going, I'm so scatty today. I'm telling this story so badly, Lauren. everywhere I was going, they were saying they're discontinued. Like, you can't get them anymore in Tenerife. They're giving me all these other options. And I was like, no, like, I am one thing about me. I'm snobby with my smokes, okay? Like, I can only smoke my smoke that I smoke and that's it. Like, nothing else. It hurts my throat. I imagine all these side effects that I'm having as if the smoke itself isn't giving me enough side effects. But anyway, so I go into this shop and because they're discontinued everywhere else, this shop had like mass ordered them and had them for €80 for a sleeve, right? Now, Lauren, have you ever been to Tenerife?
Yeah, I was there for 3 weeks last year, actually, in Costa Adeje.
Yeah, and normally it's like 40, 50 euro. Like, they're ridiculously cheap in Tenerife. Like, it's, I don't know, is it tax-free or something? I don't know. But they're like super, super, super cheap. So I was picking up four sleeves. Of course, only one for myself to bring home and the other three were for somebody in Tenerife that I had met because you can only bring one home. But I had to pick up four anyways. And the total was meant to be €320. Did you see this on my TikTok?
Yeah.
The total was meant to be €320, right? So I tap my card, and before anyone, because people are like, you can't tap for €320. You can on your phone. Your card tap is €50, but I never have a physical card. I never have cash. All I ever have is my motherfucking phone. So if my phone dies, I'm dead, basically. So I tap it and I go and I don't think anything of it. And me and Alex are on the scooters. So I get back on the scooter and I drive, blah, 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 blah. And then I look at my bank because I'm like, oh, like €320 came out of my account. Let me just check that. €3.20. And at this point, we're going home, like, you know what I mean? So that's my excuse. I feel like that was just life giving me lemons, to be honest. I feel like I do a lot of little small acts of kindness all the time. So that was my reward for doing little small acts of kindness. But I realized I never told that on the podcast and I told it on TikTok. And I was like, I don't know if I should tell this story because people are going to be like, you should have went back. But then everyone's reaction was, well, they were trying to rob you with that price. So serves them right. €3.20. For four sleeves, like, where would you get it?
They're gonna see your TikTok now and hunt you dead.
Yeah, and people are like, Niamh, be careful. I think they can charge your card after. They definitely can't because I paid on Apple Pay, so they definitely cannot charge my card after. I just will never be going back to that shop. If I go to Tenerife, I'll have to send Alex in. But yeah, that's it. I'm trying to think, guys, do I have anything to fill you in on? Absolutely not. Oh my god, do you know what happened to me yesterday when I went home? I hadn't eaten, right? I hadn't had my dinner and I went home. And,
oh, I saw your life.
Yeah, wait till you hear this. So I had a little ready meal, okay, that I was like, I'm going to have this. When I'm lazy, my new thing now, because it used to be just order a takeaway, my new thing is just to have a little ready meal because they're really nice. They're actually nicer than a lot of the other like high protein meals, and they're high protein ready meals, so they're healthy. Well, everyone was commenting on TikTok and telling me they're not healthy, but they're fucking healthier than getting a takeaway, so leave me alone. So I went home and I had a Naked Brio little ready meal, okay? I open it and someone has obviously dropped it in the shop. I hadn't realised the cardboard is open and the plastic thing is all cracked. It's all like busted. So I know I could have probably just put it in a bowl, but like also there's probably microplastics now in the food. So no. So then I was like, right, okay, fine. Like life is against me today. I'll just make a sausage sandwich and have a sausage sandwich for my dinner. So I went and looked to my fridge, and by sausage sandwich, I always mean chicken sausage. I'm very picky with food and I will only eat chicken sausages or normal sausages. I had never tried turkey sausages, and I had never wanted to because I don't like turkey. So anyways, go to open my fridge to make my sandwich, my toasted sausage sandwich. And I see that I've bought turkey sausages instead of chicken sausages. Okay. And this was the beginning of the end for me. And I said, oh my God, I was literally in such a bad mood. I was like, fuck my life. Like everything is against me today. I've tried to have a little ready meal. It's fucking smashed up to bits. I'm now trying to have a fucking chicken sausage sandwich. I don't have chicken sausages. I have turkey sausages. Then I was like, do you know what? Fuck it. It's all I have. I'm going to eat it. Now, is that not growth, guys? Because before I would have been like, right, takeaway immediately. Triple cheeseburger right now, please. So I was like, right, I'll just eat it. I'm too tired and it's too late and I can't be arsed. So I go to make it and then I'm like, I open the fridge to look for the ketchup. Tell me why the ketchup has been put into my fridge open and there's like watery ketchup leaking all over my fridge. Tell me why. Because my boyfriend is after using the ketchup and leaving it open in the fridge, upside fucking down. Not upside down, as in like, so it can fall out, like on the shelf. And there's ketchup leaking all over my fridge. So then at that point, that was my 13th reason. I was like, I've had it now. And then I realized I had no butter. And no matter how healthy I'm eating, I cannot sacrifice butter, okay? That's one thing I cannot sacrifice, especially not on a sausage sandwich. So it was just a fucking disaster. I had to eat a dry ass turkey sausage sandwich, but it actually was lovely. It was really nice. So that's all I have to catch us up on, to be honest, because I only filmed an episode yesterday. So with Lauren. Oh no, I suppose I didn't talk to them about Tenerife. Tenerife was great. There's not really much to tell you. Alex bought at least 6 magnets, if not more. I don't know why. I don't know what the point was. He has to have spares, guys. Like he literally has spare magnets from every country in case one of them breaks. Like it is the most ridiculous thing ever. But you know, I don't want to put him down with his hobby. So I think the magnets is fine. It's the buying spare magnets, like 5 spare magnets. That's a bit unhinged, to be honest. But yeah, that's it. So less about me, more about our guest. Our guest today is Marty Guilfoyle. So, Marty, thank you so much for joining us.
This is so cool, Niamh. I love this so much. I remember when you launched this.
Yeah.
And then I got asked to do it. Now I'm like, oh, is it episode 39?
Yeah, 39.
What's going on?
39. I was just filling Marty in, guys, by the way, on my tune, I promise. I filmed him in before we started the episode. So, Marty's well aware of the tune, I promise now. You'll have to look out for it if it comes to episode
100. Yeah. No, it's definitely coming. Yeah. And I cannot wait for that episode.
Pray for me.
Let's bloody go.
Pray for me. So Marty, you're a DJ and a radio presenter and you host a show on Spin 103.8.
Yeah.
You do a lot.
Just pay my bills.
You literally.
That's what we're all trying to do, Niamh, is just pay our bills these days.
But like, you do an awful lot, actually, now that I think about it. How do you even find the time to do that many things?
I'm going to put my hand up and say, like, again, online, there can be a perception that you do more than you do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it does come across it, like when you're in a couple of different places and 24 hours and stuff. But in between all that, I'm in my car, I'm munching on snacks.
Yeah.
You know, when the radio show is on, like since last year, the show has moved to Spin South West, iRadio, and Red FM as well.
Yeah.
So, but it's the same mix.
Yeah.
And then I just post produce it for all the stations.
Okay.
And then during the songs, like, I'm just sitting there sipping away in a 7-Up or something. And sorry, this is not a hashtag ad. Anything that, like, you know, so that there's fun in it too.
Yeah.
So it can seem a bit chaotic, but I'm not going to put my hand up and say it's hard because I love it.
Do you still do the lives? I remember you used to always come up on my feed.
I'm talking about this to someone yesterday. Yeah. It's so funny you say that because someone came up to me yesterday and you probably get this too, Niamh. It's like, I want to grow on TikTok.
Yeah.
How did you do it? And I was like, I went live on TikTok every night for yeah. like 2 years. And
yeah.
she was like, what?
yeah.
She looks at you blankly. Looking like, you want me to do that? And I'm like, I'm just saying that's how I did it.
Yeah.
It's like, so no, I actually haven't done a live on TikTok in so long. I just think work's been so busy. And
yeah.
I think, you know, when I became familiar with you and stuff, when everyone was going live on TikTok at the time, we were all locked up and going crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, that bit of extra time, Niamh, you know what I mean?
That was crazy.
Wasn't it just yeah. mad? But like, I look at the people now that like, I'm like friends with and get along with, and you're having me on your podcast now.
Yeah.
That's how I became familiar with you because of all that.
Yeah.
And then years afterwards, then like to be able to still get along with these people and to be asked by you to go on to this, it's mad how it all worked out.
Yeah. I always think about that. It's mad how like all of our lives really, like if you think back to 2020, like COVID, like the kind of gang of us that was on TikTok then, like a couple of years later, all of our lives have like really changed in them 5 years. I think about it all the time. I'm like, we were only like, I feel like I wasn't a kid, but I feel like I was only a kid.
That's like, the thing.
Yeah.
Because like I know, because like I'm in my 30s. Mm. So I was like trying to hop onto this app and promote music and promote being a DJ. And then I was looking at all you kids excelling with all these cool trends and stuff. So I went through a phase where, well, I'm going to try copy these. All of a sudden, it's like, look at a granddad trying to do a little dance and stuff. And I'm like, guys, I'm just trying to promote my new song.
Yeah.
Give me a chance. I'm trying to keep up with the cool kids. But
yeah,
you guys were flying it.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where I was like trying to copy it. I was like, and then I had to stop. I was like, no, this is getting cringe now.
But TikTok was so good back then. Like, this is like off topic, but like me and my friends talk about it all the time. Do you remember back in like 2020? I think it's because there wasn't as many people like on the app, but you put up a video and everyone in 1 hour you'd have 10k likes on your video.
It was mental.
I
remember, you know what, this is so funny you say that, because it's gotten to the point now where it doesn't matter how many followers you have. Like, it's just, your followers just aren't going to see your stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be people that don't follow you to see it.
Yeah.
But you're so right, you could throw up something and in an hour you'd be like, Jesus, oh my God. And now it's like you put up a video and you're like watching it tick 1, 2,
yeah.
3 and
yeah.
you're like, please, can someone just hear my new song?
Yeah, it's so much. I don't know. I think it's because back then, like, TikTok was still kind of like, people still thought it was cringy and like were like, oh, I'm not doing that. That's like for losers. So there was so many, like, if you think about it, there was really only like maybe 30 or 40 of us that posted consistently every single day.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, TikTok's cool now. Yeah. Everyone does TikTok. Yeah. It's a fight for the for you page. Like,
you've nailed it.
Can we go back to 2020?
Yeah. That's it. Like, you're so, everyone's fighting for that space on someone's phone, whether they're getting ready or they're doing their story time. Or,
yeah.
You know, and you're so right. But everyone, like, I've been thinking about this because, like, I look at, say, my other halves, like, you know, nephews and nieces.
Mm-hmm.
They're what? They must be 10. I'm going to get this wrong, probably 7 and 4-ish. And I'm thinking, like, if the teacher went around the classroom, like, what do you guys want to be when you grow up? Like, back in my day, me as if I'm like 90 years old, it was like, you wanted to be like a guard or a fireman or a nurse. And now it's like, I want to be an influencer.
Yeah.
I want to be famous.
Yeah.
Like, there's no like actual, like, I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
I just want to be famous.
Yeah.
And I just find that so mad.
I'm fascinating. Like,
we're going to be having a heart attack in our 80s, Niamh.
Yeah.
There's going to be no doctors.
I know. No, that's so.
We're rolling around the ground foaming at the mouth. Yeah. There's no one to save us.
Everyone's doing TikTok dances. Us.
Yeah.
My little cousin, actually, she's 11. And if you ask her what she wants to do, like, she wants to be a TikToker and a YouTuber. Like,
it's mad, isn't it?
It's scary. And it's like, what do you. You can't tell them, like, no. Because it is now. It's like a valid thing to want to be. There is.
Oh, no, dead right.
Yeah.
Obviously, the money you can make is incredible.
Yeah.
I would be kind of like, but what do you want to do?
Yeah, what do you actually want to do?
What do you actually want to do that maybe could come with going and that? That's where I'd kind of point it.
Yeah.
It's just gone mad though.
Yeah, it's crazy. How did you, I actually am really interested in this. How did you actually get into radio?
Oh, wow, radio. I was doing my leaving cert and I was listening to 98FM. My mom is a barrister.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to do law. And I remember listening to the radio and I can't remember who was on at the time, but they were like having such a good time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. I was studying for my leaving. I was like, why is this person having fun? I'm hearing him. I can't remember who it was. And I just had this weird moment where I was like, I want to do that.
So yeah.
I rang up a radio station in Lucan called If You Sound FM the next day. And at the time I had like a Fiat Cinquecento. I don't know if you know the car.
It's no.
Like, have you seen the in-betweeners where they have the real small.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was one of them.
Yes.
And I rang them up and I was just like, look, like, I was listening to the radio last night and I'd love to be on the radio. And the guy kind of laughed on the phone. His name is Fran Walsh. He was like, you can't just ring a radio station and say I'm on the radio. And I was like, oh, this is awkward because I just did. But he said, come on down. And he
brought me down.
I was down within an hour. And he kind of put me on air for a couple of minutes. I was like, obviously a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
And I stuck with them for a while before making a demo to send into Spin. And yeah, that's, Jesus, over 15 years ago.
Man. You have such a radio voice, though. Oh, you have like...
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. You have like one of the most... Like I always say to Lauren as well, she has a radio voice, but you have
Lauren
like,
does.
Yeah,
yes.
Fully. She has a full-blown radio voice. That's probably why... Sorry, guys. Someone commented, Jake, I love you. It was you. He's one of my followers for years. He commented and goes, Lauren doesn't look how... What was it, Lauren?
It was something like, Lauren doesn't look as she sounds.
I thought it was offensive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
But I think it's because you have this like mad, like librarian radio voice. Like, so they probably expected you.
I know what you mean.
Do you get me?
Yeah.
Do you get me? You proper have a radio voice, Mary.
It's funny when you say that, because only a couple of weeks ago, and this rarely happens anymore given social media, if someone recognizes you, it tends to be from maybe you were in the studio on a video they saw. But I was in H&M in the Rome Shopping Centre, and I was asking the guy whatever, and he just looked up and he was like, Marty. And I was like, yeah. And he turns to me and he goes, I listen to you. I recognise the voice.
Yeah.
And I was like, that never happens anymore.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
But he listens on a Friday night to the mix show, and he didn't know what it looked like.
Yeah, but now, he just knew the voice.
I hate this part because it's going to make me sound like such a knob, but he turned around and he goes, I didn't know you were jacked.
Love that.
I was leaving H&M with the biggest head ever.
Yeah.
Like whoever that was, I can't remember his name, but he works in H&M and Dundrum on a Friday evening. Give that man a raise. Like.
Yeah, that's one of them ones that's going to stick with you now.
Yeah.
That's one of the good ones. And this is actually a question I have because my boyfriend obviously does music.
Yeah.
And he finds it
very
mad
well,
now.
By the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, why
you're
am
saying
I saying
thank you?
Yeah. Like it's mine.
Yeah.
Thank you. But he finds it mad because obviously you're doing music a while now, and he finds it mad the difference in like a couple of years ago before TikTok.
Yeah.
It was so different. And now I think he loves and he hates it because obviously one viral video on TikTok and your song is, that's it.
Just getting that video.
But it's getting that video. Yeah. Whereas a few years ago, like he used to post on Facebook. And
oh my God,
they'd go viral on Facebook.
That's mad.
Do you find that it's like, it's different now in comparison?
It's so hard.
Yeah.
Oh, like pre-COVID, I remember my monthly listeners were at like an all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of, you know, chatting about this, about fighting for screen time, which is what you're doing with music now.
Yeah.
But I look back to like even 10 years ago, and the stuff we were putting out was kind of stuff that we really loved. We loved making it. We were having so much fun in the studio.
Yeah.
And now I do love what I'm putting out, but I'm also careful with it as well, if that makes sense. I've no problem admitting that I wouldn't put something out that I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
But you're thinking of radio, you're thinking of TikTok, you're not really thinking about like, what do I love?
Yeah, what there's,
and I'm not saying I'm not loving what I'm putting out, but like I love drum and bass.
Yeah.
I would love to dish out a filthy drum and bass banger, but it would pop.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna do it, but then why not then as well, you know, the kind of way.
Yeah.
That one that does it, it's so hard, it's so different to what we're putting out.
Yeah.
So I totally get where he's coming from. And then in the nicest possible way, someone could put out a song that is absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
So bad.
And then it do so well.
So well. They make so much money from it. They get a major label to sign it. The major label don't even care that it sounds bad.
Yeah.
Because they just know it's going to make them money.
Yeah.
And then they're touring the world in 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, that is it.
Terrible song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I feel like a lot of, like just, this is again off topic. I always go off topic. But I feel like a lot of like song writers now are actually thinking of TikTok when they're writing songs. Like I notice like even in some Ariana Grande songs, there's like one line that's like, that was definitely for TikTok.
So people can mind.
Yeah. Like 100%. Like that was with TikTok in mind.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's, I don't know if you feel like this, but I feel like TikTok has like changed the music industry in a lot. Even like YouTube, like my boyfriend's obsessed with YouTube. That's where he loves the music videos.
My other half works for YouTube.
Stop.
She's trying to get me to be maybe as obsessed with it as your other half.
Yeah.
Because I just don't. I've tried uploading shorts. Mm. I get 3 views and I'm like, this just isn't worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get 3 or 4 views and I'm like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Obviously, I understand you have to keep going. I tried the odd vlog, like, you know, when I was like doing my gigs abroad, I was like, I'll take people with me, and they got like 100 views, and I was just like, how do people do it?
Yeah.
All that work and time and effort into editing this full vlog. Yeah. And I get 100 views.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I was like convinced when I came up with this idea to like make a vlog of like my gig in Greece or whatever, I was like, oh, this is going to get loads of views, yeah. ad revenue, YouTube. I've seen it on.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I was like, I ended up sponsoring it and spending my own money.
Yeah. YouTube, I find do you know what I find difficult? I actually find vlogging difficult because I feel like then I'm like I'm not living in the moment at all. I'm like always like, oh, I need to record this. Or I said I was going to vlog, like we were talking, I was away in Ayanapa, and a lot of the other creators did vlog. But I just feel like when I'm vlogging, I'm like, everything is like, oh, clip potential, and nothing is like just living in the moment and enjoying life. And I feel like already with TikTok, we're already inbuilt in us to record so much.
Record everything.
Yeah.
And I think this is something I've done in the last 2 years, and I've actually had two friends mention it to me, is I've just stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Completely. I'm like, nobody will ever know where I am at that point.
Yeah.
I've just stopped it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm not in the moment, and I wasn't for so long. And like in the nicest possible way, like I was going out for a meal and I was taking this like 90 degree angle, a mad filter, sharpening it and structuring it. And yeah. I was like, nobody actually cares.
No one cares. Like, why are we doing this?
Who cares that I'm eating this? And it doesn't even look like what I'm eating because I filtered it to fuck. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like no one actually cares.
Yeah.
And when that clicked in my head, I was like, I can actually go out now. Like I was at a stag last weekend. Not one story about it.
Yeah, no one.
I was playing holidays.
Yeah.
And I was... like, not one story.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm away. And like, I'm not saying that if you do, it's bad, but it could be the fact that I'm getting older too. I don't know. But I'm so with you on that. Like, I really found myself just not being in the moment and then just doing silly things that nobody actually cares about.
Yeah.
Like you said. Like, it's mad, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And then I just felt like I was just, I feel like now, even I'm still like that now, like after being away in Ayanapa, I realized like big time, I'm like, I posted 100 videos over there like in 1 week. Like, that's fucking crazy work, like, you know.
Your poor phone's
so I'm still trying to break the cycle, but it's just the constant like feeling like you
were working
to record.
Though,
yeah,
you know, so that's
my excuse.
No, no, but it's true though. Like when it comes to work, you're like, obviously, I'll share more.
Yeah.
So you were working over there.
Yeah.
The job, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll use that excuse. Yeah. Me and now everyone else thought we were cracked. Like me and Casey Campion posted like 100 videos each, and then everyone else would post like 30, and they were like, "What are you doing?" We were like, "I don't know." I'm addicted 30. Though to my phone.
Well, see, do you know what? It's really cool that you can even come on and say that.
Yeah.
You know, because the people who are addicted to their phone probably need someone like yourself on the platform to go, wait a minute, if she is, then
maybe
I can admit that I am too. Yeah.
See, it doesn't help when, I don't know, you obviously have loads of things outside of just social media. But for me, all I really have is social media and a podcast. So it doesn't help that, like, how do I not be addicted to my phone? Like, it's my fucking job. Like, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Like, someone, an accountant is technically addicted to their calculator.
Exactly.
8 hours a day. You
exactly.
know? So. Bit of a weird reference, you know what I mean?
Right. So, with your music, what is your creative process like? I'm actually really interested. I love hearing like from people that make music the backstory or like what's going through their heads. What is the creative process? What makes your brain go?
Usually, just hearing someone else. I am like, so for example, the track I have out at the moment is with a girl called Kyla Bell, and the reason why we're working together is because I heard her on Christmas FM singing a song called Wrap Up Christmas. She did the competition. Now, this is where my brain went when I heard this Wrap Up Christmas song. I was like, lovely tempo. Like, this could be a club banger. Mm-hmm. I was like, so I reached out to her and I was like, I heard your song Wrap Up Christmas. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's the perfect tempo for a dance track. Would you be up for letting us remix it? And she could, like, she was so down for it. So we turned it into a club banger and we released a Christmas song together. Releasing a Christmas song is the most mental thing ever. Like,
yeah.
And now, because we, it was like short notice and stuff. We didn't get enough of a run in, but I cannot wait to promote the shit out of this.
Yeah.
Christmas song? Like, come on, Mariah, we're coming for
you. Yeah, that's iconic. That's iconic. So, and everyone loves a Christmas song.
That's it, yeah. So then when we were working together again, to be honest, like, I've no problem being this. The vocal is actually a splice vocal, so it's a royalty-free one. But the person who was singing it, like, I loved what they written, but I didn't actually like them.
Yeah.
I don't know who this person is.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of way. It's the way it works. You get, like, a bank of royalty-free vocals, and you can pick and choose what ones you want to use.
Yeah.
And I sent it to Kyle, and I was like, would you re-record this verse? And she absolutely nailed it. You know what I mean? So everything from me comes from hearing. Like, a lot of my tracks that I put out are covers. Like, for example, Once You Step, which is to date my best performance song.
Yeah.
I was driving home from a gig listening to a cheesy playlist on Spotify, and Ciara's Once You Step came on. And I just listened to it on loop then for a whole 2.5 hours home on the way home from Mayo.
Being, yeah.
Oh my God, where is this in the clubs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back when I was younger, it was in the clubs as One, Two, Step.
Yeah.
It was a banger. But like, it's not in the clubs anymore. So then that was where the idea then came from that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's different though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So just kind of listening for you.
I'm a cheese ball.
Yeah. I'm a cheese ball. I love cheesy music.
I just love singing.
Yeah.
I just like, I cannot do a set in front of a crowd without giving them sing along. So that's kind of what I want to do with the music we put in.
Yeah.
There has to be like an element of they can sing along to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was in Ibiza, actually. Funny you say that, because I was in Ibiza a few years ago. I was with my friend Dylan. He's been on the podcast a few times. But every single club we went to, everywhere we went to, it was just techno, 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 techno. And we actually trawled the whole island of Ibiza being like, I just want to sing a song.
I just want a bit of ABBA.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's techno, just give me a bit of ABBA.
Just give me a bit of ABBA over it. Yeah. It's. I feel like music as well now, like, you're so right in saying, I feel like clubs and everything of there's a lot less cheesy music, but I love cheesy music.
I love it. And
yeah.
That's the one thing I'm not going to stop doing. And I understand it's probably not the coolest thing to do as a DJ, but I'm just so happy to do it. Like,
yeah.
Katy Perry fireworks, there's an edit I have of it every single set I play.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, the coolest guy in the crowd, who is probably, you know, the beefiest looking dude,
yeah,
who loves his techno, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you best believe he's singing along to...
Yeah.
Feel like a plastic bag.
Oh, yeah.
Belting it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know what? Everyone loves a bit of cheese. Yeah. Everyone, yeah. Even the coolest people that pretend that they hate it.
Oh, if it comes on, there's.
Yeah. A few drinks in a club, you're singing it, and that's it. So you've got to travel pretty much all over the world, really, with DJing, haven't you? You've got to go to a lot of really cool places.
Yeah.
What would be your favorite place that you've got to go to? Is that really mean to ask to pick a favorite?
Cavan.
Cavan.
No.
Cavan. I actually, it took me a minute. I was like, Cavan.
No, we're not going to say Cavan. One of the coolest places, like, was definitely Macau. So Macau is south of China. It's like this separate kind of.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's like just opposite. It's like a boat ride to Hong Kong. But the reason why it's so cool is a lot of people, if you're listening, you know about it, you'll probably be like, how do people not know about it? But basically, it's the Las Vegas of Asia.
Right.
Where it's a carbon copy. So you have the MGM, you have the Eiffel Tower, the whole lot.
Stop.
It's literally like you're walking through Vegas, but you're in Asia. So that's where they all go for their Las Vegas, because obviously Vegas is a lot further away for that side of the world to get to.
Yeah.
So I played there in a club called Pasha. And that was just mental, because I mean this. Nobody had a clue who I was there.
Yeah.
Like, we got the booking and I was like, right, new territory, let's smash it.
Yeah.
And see how we get on. There was like people at the airport waiting for me just because they'd seen a poster.
Yeah.
The air hostesses and everything were like, and this was mad because they love entertainment in Asia to the point where they spend so much money on it, which is what Irish people just don't do anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they just go mad on it. So when they see there's a DJ coming from outside of Asia,
yeah,
they automatically just want to go see them.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm just like, it's so unbelievably cool. It's just like, they just want to go out. They just want to have fun. They don't even care who it is. But then when you're there, they're so, like, we were so looked after. Like, everyone was just so unbelievably nice.
Mm-hmm.
And we did end up doing an all-nighter. And because our flight
I love that.
Today, I was like, guys, I want to go see Hong Kong. It's 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
We only have 2 hours.
Oh my God. And you just randomly went?
Went to Hong Kong for 2 hours just to see it.
Yeah.
And then came back and hopped on the plane to get back. So we got to tick off the Hong Kong box as well.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Yeah. So that was really, really cool. I mean, when I look at like the festivals and stuff like Croatia, you're obviously in like Croatia, Greece, Spain. You love them all.
Yeah.
But I love playing in Ireland.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. Like, I love going into Kerry.
Yeah.
I love going to Donegal. Like Mayo, Westport is one of my favorite spots ever. So like,
yeah,
when someone says what's your favorite gig you've done, it's obviously easy to shout the big ones.
Yeah.
I love the Irish ones.
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Saturday night in Westport in County Mayo, like, hook it to my veins. Like,
yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's wholesome. There'll be listeners from Westport now. Yeah.
They're like, you shite. We don't go to them.
No, Marty, I see your gigs popping up sometime. Now, I'm so bad. I don't leave my house. So like, I don't gigs ever. But I see your gigs popping up and I'm like, that is the type of gig that I want to be at. Like, the music you play play is just fun. Fun music. Yeah. So everyone loves you, don't they?
I'll have to get you to one.
So you're also a fitness enthusiast and you like to stay in good shape. How do you even find the time? Because you're doing DJ, you're doing radio. How are you I can't even find the time to come here on time. Yeah, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, Lauren was like, don't worry, she's usually a little bit late.
Yeah.
I waited out you for that. Yeah.
Oh, look. And I've been doing nothing. Like, that's the thing. So I'm like, how do you find the time to do all this?
I work evenings and nights.
Right.
When you're in your 30s, like, everyone's working 9 to 5.
Yeah.
People are starting to have kids and get married and stuff. And like, people are busy. Like,
yeah.
We're all adults. Like, we're all busy. So for me now during the day, like, it's going to sound really sad. I have no friends. Like,
yeah. But you do, you get, like, the older you get, the less friends you have.
But that's true. Your circle does get smaller. I don't mean this in a pity me. I just mean it in a way that, like, you know, unless my other half is working from home or, you know, or else someone is around and has a day off, like, I still need to keep occupied. And I've always just kind of thought, well, if I'm not doing anything radio or music related, why not just train?
Yeah.
Because, like, at the end of the day, when I go abroad and stuff, like, I don't drink much when I do it because I want to continue to do this as long as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when I'm abroad, I will, you know, go for my walks and go to the gym and stuff because, like, I hate admitting it, but I'm getting older now. You know, I've been doing this for 15 years and I'm like, you know, something's gonna have to give if I don't look after my body. So this is gonna sound so silly, but I treat it, when I train for 90 minutes a day, I treat it as 90 minutes work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, if I keep doing this, then I'll be able to stay fit and healthy to keep this going for as long as I can until somebody says, no, we're not going to your gigs anymore.
Yeah, I wish I had that mindset. I'm so bad. Alex actually always says to me, I'm like, I do everything that's bad for you. Like, I smoke cigarettes. And it's so funny.
Have you ever taken one pull of a cigarette?
Oh, don't.
And I was a teenager and Jesus. So embarrassing.
I smoke like 20 cigarettes a day. It's so bad.
I'm the world's most uncool DJ though.
No, you're not.
You've never seen me with anything like that ever. Yeah. Like, one guy in Greece turned to me once. He was like, do you want some of this, do you? And I was just like, no, I don't do that. And he was just like, you're very straight laced, aren't you? I was like,
yeah, but you're better off. I feel like in the music industry, there is so much opportunity to fall down.
Oh, it's everywhere.
Yeah. I even see it with, obviously, I'm not in the industry, but like, I'd go to Alex to gigs, and like when he done the Snoop tour, like, there was, it's crazy. Everyone, even like Snoop Dogg, is smoking like crazy fucking amounts of weed every single fucking day. It's like, there's so much opportunity to go down bad paths. So it's really admirable that you haven't, and you're still so into your health and your fitness.
I adore you so much right now that you've twisted me being the world. Little DJ to being admirable, and like, I need to speak to you more often.
No, it's true though.
I'm like, she's not being paid for this, I swear.
It's true though. So many people do. There's so much, like, guys, there is so much, especially at gigs, like where you're DJing, there's so much drugs and alcohol, and it's obviously there's going to be times where when everyone else is doing something, it's so tempting to just do it. So it is, like, genuinely, it is admirable that you have that outlook and you're like, I want to do this for as long as possible, so I'm not going to do things that are harmful and I'm going to look after my health.
That's the plan.
Like, I don't have that. I'm like smoking 20 cigarettes a day. Like,
you'll
see
me leaving the studio and I light up a cigarette downstairs. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah. Do you know, Alex said, I'm like, do you ever see that meme? It's actually not even funny, but Alex was like, Niamh, that is the image of you. You know, the one where your one's like, can I talk to you about melanoma? And she's like, Melanie, I don't know it, darling.
Yes.
She's smoking a cigarette. Like, and she literally looks like she's been baking in the sun for about 50 years. Yeah. That is me. So I think it's admirable.
When it comes to sun now, Jesus. Let me start on that.
Like, no, I'm bad with the sun as well. Sun, very bad. It's every time I post, I actually posted like, over in Tenerife, I was using, you know, that fucking oil that everyone uses. No, you know, the...
There's another one.
Barbaria. It's in the tub.
I have no idea what this is, and I probably shouldn't find out what it is.
No, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Everyone was, I posted it being like, guys, I love this. And everyone was like, okay, and where do you put your SPF? And I was like,
oh, you're...
like, I am so bad. So, Martin, trust me. When I look at someone that's so into fitness and looks after themselves, I'm like, I want to be that person. So obviously, I feel like you have gotten hate online throughout the years. I think we all have. Like, anyone who has been online.
I know, Niamh, now I haven't had as much as you.
I'm like a hate magnet. Like, what's, why do people not leave me alone?
Well, I think that if you're going to bring it up, like, I think you need to know that. You have handled it really, really well. And I think as someone who, we were talking about younger people earlier,
yeah,
to get into it, I think that's something that they should know is going to
absolutely
come. They can see someone like you handle it that way, like, it is inspiring to them.
Yeah,
so I hope you know that.
Yeah, well, I didn't always. I feel like I used to handle it very badly, but I think as you get older, I don't care as much. Like, I don't care, like, I could not care less what people think of me now, whereas I feel like when I was younger, there's more insecurity there when you're younger. Absolutely. And you don't know yourself, you know what I mean, whereas now people can say anything to me and I'm like, right, fuck off, I know me, kind of thing.
That's it. And if you know, like, yeah, if you don't believe what they're saying,
yeah,
you don't care, do you?
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly.
When you first started the podcast, because we were talking about how you reached out to her when she was in the office that day, saying, remember, it was,
yeah, you were lovely that day.
No, but I think that's people, like, I think people shy away from it, and I think, yeah, nothing beats it than actually in person.
Yeah,
it's easy to send a message, like, but, like, yeah, no, I remember, like, anytime anything has been noticed by me, when someone says it in person, it just means so much.
Yeah, it does. Oh, 100%. That day when you stopped me in the lift and you were like, are you okay? I came up here to Lauren. I was like, Mary, you just asked me, am I okay in the lift? It does. It means a lot. And I think, like, people can send messages when you're going through something online or when you're getting online. Hey, people can send messages. But when a person is put to it, it means a lot more. Messages obviously mean a lot too, guys.
Of course,
okay.
Yeah.
Send all the messages.
You need all the love.
Yeah. But I think when you know, like, you meet someone and, you know, I get it even on the street from strangers that will come up to me and be like, I seen this person said this or whatever. It just means a lot more when it's big person time to person. Yeah. And I think
and you probably find as well, which blows my mind, because we keep getting told that we're in, like, yesterday's news era, where,
yeah,
yesterday's news is yesterday and the new news is today.
Yeah.
I still get asked, like, am I okay from stuff that's happened, like, years ago?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And which makes me kind of realize, geez, maybe at the time it was bigger than I thought, but two, people are nice.
Like, yeah.
There are nice people out there.
Yeah.
You know, and when someone does that, it does make it that little bit lighter.
Yeah.
You know, it really does.
And I think we can forget. That's a really good point, because I think being online, you can forget that there is nice people out there. Like, yeah, when something happens, I think everybody online has had one point where it's been like, felt like the whole world is against you and everyone's against
everything's
you.
Like,
yeah, and everything's crumbling. And, like, I think none of my friends that do social media haven't had that experience. I think it's like a part of it and it comes with it and it's sad.
I do hate that people say it comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't come with any other job.
Yeah.
I understand if you put yourself out there. One thing I will, if you post, like, identifiable things.
Yeah.
Come and find them and stuff. I think there has to be an element of responsibility behind,
yeah,
that. But if you're just being yourself online,
yeah,
and someone's coming at your character and at your personality, and you, I'm kind of like, no other job is that part of it.
No,
you don't sign up to that.
No,
no one deliberately signs up to that.
No, no.
when I started making, like, back when I started putting stuff out, it was Twitter. And Twitter has become a place for hate. Back then it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went on to Instagram. That wasn't there. I was big on Vine. Do you remember you?
Oh my God. No, I never had Vine, but, like, no.
Baby.
Yeah. Oh, now, God. Vine, I think Vine was like, I would have been YouTube watching YouTube,
okay,
when Vine. But Vine was, I remember Vine.
It was a 7-second clip.
Yeah.
Couldn't edit them.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Raw.
Right.
And I remember working up 100K followers on it.
Oh, deadly.
It disappeared. And I was like, oh my God. Do you know, like, I was like, that was back when I didn't value what I value. I was literally like,
yeah,
I've just lost all these people. What am I going to do in my life?
Yeah.
I was like, then I had to really reassess, like, what's, like, important in life. But then obviously when TikTok came along, I was like, oh, this is like the modern day Vine.
Yeah.
Hop straight onto it. I've completely lost my train of thought to why I'm talking about that. The point is I didn't sign up to Vine. I didn't sign up to Instagram. I didn't start putting mixes out online to invite people to be nasty to me.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't sign up to it.
Yeah.
You know, so I hate that people kind of push it aside. Yes, you have to absolutely go, right, it comes with the territory, but I hate that it's so, like, blasé. Like,
yeah,
like, it shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
Unless you are coming for someone personally, I don't get it. I really don't. Like, I never will. I never understand someone just sitting on their phone at home and just going, I'm going to make this person cry.
Yeah. I think there's like an element. I always say misery loves company. And I think, like, I always try, I know it's so cliche, but I'm like trying, I picture these people and I'm like, there's no way you're happy. Like, happy. I know I've been a bitch in my life. Okay. I have been a bitch on many occasions. Any time that I was being a bitch, I wasn't happy. It was coming from within me. And that's, I always kind of try and think that now. I don't know if it's true. Maybe they are happy.
No one's ever been 100% kind in their whole life. Like, I know there are times, you know, like that I've not been a nice person. Like, I can absolutely hold my hand up and I could probably list off 10 of them right now.
Yeah.
And you're so right. Like, I clearly was not in a happy place to have acted that way, because if I was, I wouldn't have acted that way. Now, back, I personally never put it into a message or put it publicly in a comment.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the modern day
world. The modern world,
My dad always says, was my dad that said this to me? Some, I think it was my dad. I've always told this as my dad telling me, but he goes, he's never on social media, but yet he knows all about it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, he was like, look, if someone isn't willing to like sit down, write a letter, you know, put it in an envelope, put up, get a postage stamp, go to the post office and post it, then it's not worth it.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not willing to do that, because that's what people had to do back in the day.
Back in the day,
back
yeah.
In the 90s and the 90s, if you wanted to reach out to somebody, you found out where they worked. If it was like a broadcast or something, you sent a letter.
Yeah.
And if you're sending a letter, you must really.
Yeah, you must be really
angry.
Now
it's just so easy. Isn't it? That's the problem.
That's it. And I think that's, it scares me for kids as well. Like, I think they need to bring in some sort of law. How do you even do it though? How do you police it? But like,
I know TikTok has like a creator care mode now.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that's doing its job. But like, I've heard some mad stats on like, you know, kids under the age of 12 and how long it takes when they sign up to these social media sites before they see something that's misogynistic.
Yeah.
Or,
it's scary. It's like, so scary. And I think the thing is as well, like I always say, I got bullied in school, but it was in school. I came home. And like, yeah, I was affected by it, but home was safe.
It didn't continue on social media.
It didn't continue. And now there's no safe place because kids have everything. Like, I was kind of that generation. I'm 97. So I was the first generation to kind of have internet in my childhood, but not, we didn't have access to it. It was like dial up and then nobody had internet for ages.
Oh my God,
it was like the Bebo time.
Rang the phone. Yeah. The
yeah. And it took like 10 fucking minutes to do the one page. And then we had a dongle. Do you remember the dongles that you used to plug into the laptop?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't like,
this is brilliant.
It wasn't like at your fingertips the way kids have it now. Like not on your phone. You'd have to go on your fucking computer and spend about an hour trying to get onto Bebo. Like, you know what I mean? So it's scary. It is really scary that kind of
it continues
Amy
enough money to go back and be a teenager now.
No. I'm so glad that we didn't have the access, because let's be so for real, kids can be assholes. Like, I was an asshole when I was a kid.
But like, that's, it's kind of part of growing up.
Yeah, exactly.
So be able to have a new medium to express it.
Yeah. It's frightening. Yeah. Very. If I don't know what I would have been doing if I had the internet when I was that age. So, and also their digital footprints as well. It's like, there's so many
ruining people's songs.
Yeah. But it's also just the, like, everything that they put, like, I can't imagine if I was like 10 on TikTok, like, them videos are going to be on the internet forever, and I'm going to be like 40 being like, there's 10-year-old me like cursing someone out on TikTok, you know what I mean? Because I would have been like, you best know I would have been. Right, so in the past few years you had adopted a dog called Steve. Tell us about Steve.
So Steve was the first time me and my other half decided to do this. So a friend of mine, her name is Izzy, she was doing some stuff with this charity, Irish Dogs for the Disabled, set in Cork. And I was following the journey and I was just like, oh my God, this is incredible. Like, she essentially takes this dog in for a year to 18 months. And then the dog goes on and ends up being allocated to a child with a physical disability.
I told Lauren I was going to cry when we were talking about this.
I get it out because but the thing is, like, when you see what these dogs can do, like, it's frightening.
Yeah.
And Steve, like, bless him, he was overweight. he was lazy. He didn't tick the boxes to be an assistance dog. Let's be real.
Yeah.
My other half now is like, don't you dare speak bad words. And But we're getting updates and he's killing it. He's shredded now. He's lost all the weight. He's going to be with a kid, I think, with cerebral palsy. I think that's what he's being allocated to. Basically, because of his sturdy stature, he's going to be Stability Steve.
Yeah.
So that's going to be his job. And, you know, when a kid that struggles to walk will hold a handle on the back of his jacket and the dog will help.
Oh, stop.
So Steve went back there now, what must be 4 months ago, 3 to 4 months ago. 3 months ago, I think. And we now have Usher. So we're doing it again.
Yeah.
And Usher is the opposite of Steve. Ball of energy, just like the complete opposite, but still half retriever, half lab. And Usher will go on to do the same thing. After 12 to 18 months, they'll take him off us and they'll train him then to go on to be with a kid with a physical disability.
That's amazing, Marty. To even do that, to be able to do that is, I never knew you could do that. Like, this is all.
Yeah, so this is what I'm finding is people are like, wait, that's what happens before?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. So before, because they have to wait till they're a certain age to train them so that they're able to, you know, learn.
Yeah.
And the problem is they just have so many of these amazing puppies, but they can't keep them all. So they need people to come in and foster them. And then the hard part is obviously bring them back.
Yeah.
After a year or a year and a half. So.
And do you find, is that really, really hard?
So I was like, you know, playing it cool, like macho man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's grand. Like he's got a job. It's fine. I think my other half was a blubbery mess about 4 weeks leading up to it.
Yeah.
So that continued. And then the day came. And I remember we dropped him in and he was in with the other pups. They were all going to get ready to start training. And as he walked out, I just was like, I'm going to go back and say one more goodbye. And I
bent
over, I put my head over the kind of the door lock. And he just looked up at me and I just bawled.
Bawled, yeah.
I was like, he's looking at me now. Like he knows me as his owner.
Yeah.
And I'm just disappearing.
Yeah.
But dogs are intelligent. They're smart. Like, he definitely doesn't miss me. I miss him. He's off living his best life, full-time employment. But
full-time employment.
what has been kind of mentioned is that they retire at like the age of like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And sometimes then the kid is still, you know, young enough that it needs a dog.
Yeah.
So they bring in a new dog.
Yeah.
And again, it's kind of like, well, what do you do with the previous assistant's dog? So the family either keep it, but sometimes there's a conflict of interest there. But we're hoping that if there is a conflict of interest, that Steve comes home.
Comes home, yeah, so that would be amazing.
Back when he retires, and it's like a full circle moment.
Full circle, yeah.
Yeah, so because he's 2 next month, that'd be 5 years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
You best believe that TikTok, oh my God.
Yeah.
Have everyone's tissue out ready for that one.
Yeah. Dogs are, it's crazy how intelligent dogs are though. Like, I've seen videos on TikTok that have left me like sobbing, crying. I seen one recently where a woman had some sort of condition and the dog alerted her that she was going to have like a heart attack.
Oh, yes.
It was insane. Like it is crazy how connected dogs are with humans.
Their intuition is just like, and again, I think it's unless you, like, do you have a dog?
I had a dog, Zoe. I grew up with Zoe and then Zoe died and then I had another dog, but I don't have a dog now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're
it's
Alex.
It's a hard chat for you to have.
No, it's fine. Alex, do you know what? This is going to sound really cold now. I used to be a dog person and now I really want a cat. I've decided that I really want a cat now, but Alex loves dogs, loves them, but he wants a Rottweiler. Like, he wants to get a Rottweiler and we live in like a little estate house. I'm like, Alex, you can't put a Rottweiler in this house.
At home had half Rottweiler, half German Shepherd.
Yeah.
Years ago, Roxy. And even then, I don't think we had the space for Roxy's let all that energy out.
Yeah.
You
know what
I mean? So you do have to consider it.
And he doesn't realize. I'm like, you will need to bring this dog on like
four
three. He's like, yeah, I will.
No butter,
like,
yeah.
No, you're not going to. Like, there's no way. But I'd love to get a dog now. It's just, I feel like a dog is, a dog is like a child.
Like, people don't, they are. And like, again, if you've never had a dog, this is the thing, is like, if you've never had a dog and you're not a dog person, I can understand why when people talk about dogs like this, you don't get it.
Yeah.
Unless you've had one before and you realize, like I've had mothers tell me that raising a puppy was harder than raising a kid.
Yeah.
I just want to put that out there. I'm a man. I will never give birth. I'm aware of that. But this was told to me by a mother.
Yeah.
I'm not the one putting this out there.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure people, you know, will argue that raising a baby is harder than raising a puppy. But it's just like, depending on the puppy you get, it could be absolute carnage. Usher, for the first couple of nights, but for some reason, I don't know how or I don't know why, he just settled.
Yeah.
We've been so lucky with this dog. We were so lucky with Steve. And we're just worried that, like, have we just been given, like, two golden pups? Yeah. And one day we're going to get our own for life pup. Yeah. And he's going to be the devil.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my last puppy, that I had one in, anyone who listens to this podcast knows, I had one in Turkey. But unfortunately, whatever happened over there, and my ex changed his passport so I couldn't bring him home, like changed it to just his name. But now I obviously I love him and I miss him. That's probably why I'm maybe like now, like, oh, do I really want a dog? You know, because I'm like, my head is still there. But he was crazy. He was a Pomeranian and he was the devil incarnate. Like, literally.
You can say your baby though.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby. Yeah. And but like he would have been like two and just he was potty trained. Refused. No, oh, no. I'm going to shit this all over the house. So that could very well happen, Marty.
So Usher has been very well potty trained. I don't know how since like the 9-10 weeks.
Yeah.
Steve, though, Jesus, he wasn't potty trained at all. And there's one moment that I'll never forget. Anytime I left the house, Steve would just go rogue. My other half would deal with it. Steve would behave, would do it all his business where he's supposed to do it. I leave the house. There was one day in particular, I got a text from my other half, and it was like, Steve just jumped on the couch, stared at me deadpan in the eye, and pissed all over it. And it was like, it felt like a personal attack.
Yeah.
Like, well, dad's left now. I can't get in trouble.
Yeah.
Up onto the couch, pissed all over it.
Yeah. That's like an act of protest or that, something.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just for anybody, because I never heard of this before, I'm literally going to go home now and like I'm going to be like,
dude, hey. Oh my god, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Just go on their Instagram and give
yeah, definitely. But is what is the actual process just for anybody? Because there could be people listening that are like, oh, maybe that's something that I'm interested in.
Because Usher has siblings who are looking for homes, so the process is you just reach out to them. So if on Instagram is the easiest way to do it for you, then that's how you do it. And then they'll get back to you with the kind of finer details. They'll obviously double check that like your home is safe for a dog and all that sort of thing. And obviously depends. Like, I do know you can have another dog and you can't have kids. Obviously they will vet you to a point to make sure, because they do need the dog back to
Yeah.
But the process really wasn't that like bad at all. They made it so lovely. It was so easy. And the charity, they're just great. And like, they just have like everyone that works down there is just so lovely, and they're all going to work every day, and they're changing lives.
Yeah.
And so are the dogs.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have space at home and you have the patience, more importantly, like, just consider it. Like, go onto their Instagram page, look at the puppies they have, you know, see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And look, at the end of the day, if you're considering a forever pup and you're like, is it for us? Is it not? This probably isn't like a really nice way of putting it, but why not foster and help a puppy for 12 months that's going to go change a life? And if it's for you, it's for you. And if it's not, it's not. You know, there's a couple of ways of looking at it. But again, the whole process was just something I learned just from doing it.
Yeah.
I just like remember seeing, you see assistance dogs, they're wearing their jackets and they're out and about. Never once did I look at that dog before and go, how did they get there?
Yeah, I never.
I never think about
never.
It.
Never. It's crazy. What is their Instagram, just in case anybody didn't pick up on?
Irish Dogs for the Disabled.
Okay,
so
perfect.
Irish Dogs for the Disabled.
Okay, perfect. Amazing. And it's something meaningful. I feel like a lot of people like want to do something meaningful in their life. So I feel like this is very meaningful.
It is. It's a really good way of doing it.
Yeah.
And then obviously we missed the first dog because he was a baby and he's gone to do training. But we are looking forward to the day where we see him with the child that he's been allocated to go. There he is. Look at him.
Yeah.
Literally changing a kid's life.
Yeah.
That's what the dogs do.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, I do get a little bit emotional when I'm like talking about it. Like, people are like, they're just dogs.
Yeah.
And then you see them literally help young children with physical disabilities, like live their life.
Yeah.
It's like, you just can't beat it. Like, So, yeah.
Oh, I feel.
Oh, you're getting me.
I said to Lauren. Lauren told me about this yesterday. Was it yesterday? And I literally was like, Lauren, I'm gonna be sobbing. See, anything with animals, like I just can't cope. Especially when it's like animals helping children that have disabilities, because the animal becomes part of them. Like it becomes their right hand. You know what I mean? So. They're amazing. I just think they're amazing.
Well, like yesterday now, like I don't mind saying it, like Usher decided to get sick all over my car. the food wasn't even digested.
Oh no.
I was like, I can't even be mad at you.
No.
You're going to go on and change your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, don't worry. I'll clean that up there. No problem.
Yeah. It's even just dogs. It's so hard to be mad at dogs. Yeah. Full stop. Oh, I'm going to go home now and tell Alex about this and say, do you want to do this?
Yeah, trial it.
Because that's a good way as well. Are you going to be able to if we'll foster for a year and
here
see?
You go and see. Yeah.
And if you're successful, then you can get your Rottweiler. Yeah. If you're going to walk it 4 times a day. Marty, thank you so much for coming in. Do you want to just give, because I realized at the start I never asked for your, I was so dumb, I never asked for your socials or anything, but do you want to give to anybody listening your socials, any new music, anything like that?
Like, I have a new song at the moment, it's called Lights Out.
Amazing,
check it out, please and thank you.
Perfect.
Forever. But no, Niamh, like, thank you for having me, because like, to have a platform like this and to give time away from what could be like, you know, kind of more carnage radio people really want to hear and podcasting, to give it to a charity like you, it means the absolute world for me. Like, they have spent months trying to get publicity off certain outlets.
Yeah.
So for you to just come along and just be like, do you want to come on and talk about this? Like, you've no idea how much it means. So thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on. I feel like there's going to be so many people really interested as well in what you were saying, and even just the charity themselves, because I had no idea that that was a thing. I feel like loads of people won't know that's a thing. So hopefully it opens some people's eyes and ears to it.
Check out their Instagram.
Yeah.
Look at the puppies they have and just be like, oh, could we take one of these on for 12 months and reach out to them?
Yeah. Exactly. Perfect. And give your socials, Marty Guilfoyle.
Marty Guilfoyle everywhere.
That's it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Marty, for coming in. As usual, if you have any dilemmas that you want to send to us, you can contact us on Instagram at unscriptedgoloud, or you can send us an email at unscripted@goloudnow.com. Thank you guys. Love you. Bye.
Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor, a Go Loud original podcast.